People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Ending homelessness is a tall order in a county as diverse and large as California's Santa Clara County. But that's precisely what Supervisor Don Gage hopes to do. And he's been at this for some time. As chair of the county's Housing Trust, a public-private initiative to create more affordable rental housing, Don's been able to raise millions of dollars from the county and others, and the fund continues to be leveraged to provide affordable housing for thousands of families. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and this is the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing. My guest, Santa Clara County Supervisor Don Gage, is leading a Blue Ribbon Commission on ending homelessness and providing affordable housing in Santa Clara. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, Joanne. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I have a roof over my head. I can't complain.
That's true.
So how significant of a problem is homelessness in Santa Clara County?
Well, it's quite significant. We have about 7,200 homeless individuals, male, female, and families that we've identified through census that we have taken. We've gone out into the field and actually counted, and I'm sure there's more that we've missed. So it's not just a small order.
Is that number going up, or given the challenges we're all facing with this economic meltdown?
Well, it's definitely going up because people are losing their homes and jobs, and they become homeless, living in their cars or living with other friends or relatives, basically.
What are some of the basic services that you have in Santa Clara County and that most counties in California have to address this problem? And then we'll talk about kind of the new things, the new approaches that you're taking.
Well, we have services that we provide, mental health services, alcohol, drug abuse services. We help people with vouchers to find temporary housing. We provide medical assistance through our Valley Medical Center, and we provide shelters in the cold right now, which is what we're trying to eliminate by providing housing. And so that's the gamut. We get transportation for these folks to get to and from different areas. We have provided vouchers for Section 8 housing. We've doubled that number up to 200. And one other thing that we're doing is trying to utilize some of the dollars that are out there, like food stamps. We reduced the time to get food stamps. It used to take 3 weeks to get food stamps, and we've reduced that down to 3 days. That program is way underutilized, which is a federal program.
So has this whole effort involved really getting in there and assessing what are the challenges that these folks are facing and then bit by bit chipping away at some of the bureaucracy so that you can solve those problems?
Well, I think yeah, to some degree that's true, but we really understand the problem, and we have for a long time. About 5 years ago, Jim Bell and myself started a homeless task force, and we got community members in, and we figured out, what the problem was and, what it is we needed to solve it. And then this thing got put on the shelf because there really wasn't any leadership or a champion behind that. And when I was the chair of the board a couple years later, I decided, this is a wasted effort to go through all this and then just let it sit, because if you want to kill a program, all you have to do is nothing.
Right. So you say it takes leadership. It takes, I would think, money and the coordination of all these services, because these are all different silos, right?
Yes. What we did is we pulled. I started the Blue Ribbon Task Force as a result of the commitment I made when I was chair, and I asked Chuck Reed, who's the mayor of San Jose, to effectively work with me as a co-chair, and then I pulled together 20 or 30 people, their community leaders throughout the community in all areas of the community to help me with this project. And we sat down and picked this thing up off the shelf and went through and tried to bring it up to date. And then we formed committees to actually go out and look at different areas, housing, transportation, finance committee and things like that and engage them. And then when all that work was done, we established our core group, and then we monitor that, and we have our partners report back to us on their successes or where they need to have roadblocks removed, which, you know, Chuck and myself work on.
So are there any successes or particular best practices that you've been able to achieve that perhaps could serve as an aid to other counties trying to reduce or ideally eliminate homelessness?
Well, yes. First off, it has to be a public-private partnership, because even though the county has a lot of resources, which we're already doing, we had to bring in other factors there. For example, transportation. One of the biggest issues that homeless people have is they can't hold a job because they can't get to and from. And it's very costly, even using public transportation. So what we did was we went to all the community-based organizations that give people bus tickets and so forth, and we figured, okay, there's a certain amount of dollars there. Why don't we combine that together? And then we went to VTA, the Valley Transit Authority, which I am a director, and we said, hey, can you provide service, a monthly pass free, to people who are homeless? And we've done it for the same amount of money that they were spending on programs like that. So that's one issue. The other issue is to capitalize, as I said before, on programs that existed. People, you know, couldn't get meals easily. It took 3 weeks to get food vouchers, and you know, that's if for a person who has no food, that's a lifetime. And so we got that down to 3 days, so they can come in, ask for food stamps, which, as I said, the federal program, only about 45% of the dollars were being used. We're now effectively using that. We opened the shelters to start with as an interim policy, so that when the cold weather comes, they're open 24 hours a day. It's not just go in, sleep, and leave. It's go in. There were services provided if you need them, and that came through the county. Social services was involved, mental health was involved, and some of the public-private, the private part of it was to help us with the dollars, and we got different members from the community to do that, and they've stepped up to the plate. Federally, we get about $50 million a year from different programs. In order to keep this thing going, we needed about $55 million. So, you know, first off, you look at the problem and you say, gee, it's insurmountable. Well, it really isn't, because we're only talking about $5 million a year. When you look at costs and the budget at the county is $4 billion in the general fund, $5 million is not a lot of money.
I understand you've also launched a web portal. Is that a way of giving people an opportunity to create a clearinghouse of information?
Yeah, that's the other thing that is really required, is to have all the information in one area. Because, you know, it's just like anything else. If you said, gee, I need a service from the county, you would probably have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how and which agency to contact. So you really needed a one-stop shop where you could go to a website and say, this is what I need, and you can find out where these services are available. So, and also to inform people of what's going on, because most people, you know, you don't see the homeless very much. They're under bridges, they're, you know, sleeping wherever, and you see them walking on the streets, but in the morning they get up, they go find their place, and then they're gone. And, you know, we really had to look for them to count them. So that just tells you that when it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
At the very least here, it sounds like you've improved the lot for these 7,200 homeless people in Santa Clara County. How do you go from giving them some of these basic services to actually getting them into some sort of permanent housing so that they're actually not homeless any longer?
Well, it's kind of been a transition, because before there was money available from the state and federal agencies for housing, but it was temporary housing. They would come in. We were using the armories as an example to do that. And what we've gone to is a new paradigm shift, which we create. We skip the shelter part of it and go to the housing, because we needed a place, a respite center, where homeless could go and get the supportive services that they need. I mean, you can't get a job if you don't have a phone number for an employer to call. So what we wanted to do was to get a place where they could go and get the services they need, because most homeless have issues, whether it's drug abuse, alcoholism, mental health. But before they can become productive and hold jobs and be able to afford any kind of housing, they need to get these services to get them to, you know, the level, playing field level.
So I'm sure you have some success stories, even though the numbers are growing because of home foreclosures. You probably have some people who are getting back on their feet every week.
We do have that, and the interesting part about it is that these folks have been sustaining themselves because they've gotten their act cleaned up, they have a place to live, they are getting jobs and are able to sustain themselves with help from some of the other programs, you know, like Section 8 vouchers and so forth. So we are reducing the number of homeless, and the national average now is about a 15% reduction.
Excellent. If people want more information on how you've been able to do this, is there one URL you can send them to?
Well, if they want to just call my office, I don't have the website right here in front of me, but if they want to call the office, my office, and I'll give you that information, I have an aide, a policy aide, that specifically focuses on this issue. And they can direct them anywhere they want to go. So all they really need is a phone, and the number is 408-299-5010.
Great.
And that's my phone number at the county, and the person that's doing this is Maureen O'Malley Moore.
Excellent. And I can direct people to destinationhome.ning.com.
Yes.
So either of those will get you more information about this Blue Ribbon Commission.
It will. We changed the name to Destination Home when we felt that we needed to change the paradigm here, because the feds and the state are not giving any more money to transitional housing. They want permanent housing, and it's a big savings to the county. As an example, if you took one mentally ill person, they cost us $60,000 a year because they use Valley Medical Center as their doctor, so they go into the emergency, or if they get incarcerated, we're keeping them in jail. That's very costly. They get released. They return. If you put them in housing and provide the services, it costs $16,000 a year. So, you know, if you multiply that out by the 7,200 or whatever the number is, in fact, as I recall, the number is actually 7,600 because it has gone up. 7,200 was the one that we used when we started the program and went out, but I think it's over 7,600 right now. They can get the services that they need and start to clean things up.
Excellent. Well, we applaud the work that you've been doing and are grateful that you were able to join us on the Affordable Housing Podcast.
That's not a problem. Thank you so much for calling. I just want to get the word out. We need everybody's help to do this, and we'll solve the problem.
Excellent. Supervisor Don Gage heads the Blue Ribbon Commission on Ending Homelessness and Providing Affordable Housing in Santa Clara County, California. I'm Joanne Green.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.